I'm a 36-year-old female in Sweden. I've worked in mental health care for the last 18 years, mainly with people with psychotic illnesses like schizophrenia. I was working at a group home for 9 years, and we're very close with my coworkers there, especially two females. The last few years I worked there, another female started working there, we'll just call her M, and the four of us grew very close. She was very timid, shy, friendly, and we all got along well. She was often on long-term sick leave due to her own mental health issues, so we didn't meet much at work. However, she always showed up at our after-work dinners, allowing us to stay in touch even when she wasn't well enough to work full-time. She told us that she had a history of schizophrenia, just like the patients we were treating, but that she was medicated and hadn't had any psychotic episodes for years. Since I have an education in psychiatry and extensive experience with schizophrenia, I had no judgment toward people suffering from the illness, and didn't bother me to be friends with someone who had such a diagnosis, and even after what I will tell you, I still feel the same way. In the summer of 2023, I had moved on to work at a new place, still within mental health, but this time in forensic psychiatry. Like a halfway house for mentally ill individuals who had committed serious crimes, though, and the four of us stayed in touch and still met for dinner parties. M told us that she had been evicted from her apartment because of an incident where she accidentally entered her neighbor's apartment in the middle of the night. She explained that in the huge apartment complex, all the doors looked exactly the same and she had simply walked into the wrong door by accident. She claimed the neighbors had created a scene and reported her to the police out of pure drama. I felt that while eviction seemed out of proportion for that incident, perhaps the landlord took action because he had judged her based on her medical history, and I felt bad for her. I questioned her if something else had happened, but she insisted that that was the full story. In Sweden, it's very difficult to get a contract for an apartment after being evicted. You pretty much get blacklisted. M asked me if she could move in with me, and she said she was literally homeless, and I said, "Of course you can." I've always gotten myself into uncomfortable situations by saying yes instead of thinking about myself, and I had no idea how severe the situation would get when I said yes to M. I live in a small apartment with one bedroom, a living room that only fits a couch and a TV, a small kitchen, and a small bathroom. I also had two cats. We decided M would live in the living room, and I offered to throw out my couch so she could have the bed there, but she said she was fine with sleeping on the couch. I insisted on giving her a bed, but she declined. There's a door between the living room and bedroom, but only an open arc between the living room and hallway so she wouldn't have total privacy. I hung up a thick velvet curtain to give her a sense of a door and more privacy. There's another door from my bedroom to the kitchen, so I kept the kitchen door open at night for my cats to go in and out. She wasn't working at this time because she was on one of her long-term sick leaves while I was working shifts. Sometimes I had to get up at 6 a.m. and sometimes I didn't get home until 11 p.m. I have severe insomnia, need to combine sleep medications, and even then I wake up easily. I told her I would appreciate if she could try to stay quiet on nights when I had to get up early, but that it was fine to be loud when I was off of work or doing evening shifts. She was a heavy smoker and coffee drinker, so I bought her a coffee machine to make her stay more comfortable. The coffee machine and sink are placed right outside my bedroom door in the small kitchen. The first night together, I had to get up at 6 a.m. for my shift. As usual, I had a hard time falling asleep. M had been up several times that night to smoke, waking me up each time. At 5 a.m., she started making coffee and the noise woke me up completely. I asked her nicely why she was waking up so early, wondering if she had any plans. She said she couldn't sleep. I explained that I really needed that last hour of sleep because of work and asked if she could wait until 6 a.m. to make coffee. I also mentioned that my epilepsy gets worse when I don't get enough sleep, and I was at risk of having seizures at work if I didn't sleep enough. She said that she wanted coffee with her cigarettes, but would try to wait next time I had to work. Despite this, she continued to wake me up early in the morning and throughout the nights, insisting that she needed coffee with her cigarettes. I suggested making coffee the night before or drinking iced coffee or Coke instead, but she refused. She demanded silence at 10 p.m. because that's when she wanted to sleep, and I respected that. She also had moments of binge eating, emptying my fridge and pantry. Once, she ate an entire loaf of bread within 30 minutes of me leaving the apartment, promising to replace it once she got money. I'd also told her to feel at home, so I couldn't really get mad, but it started to annoy me because of the cost and inconvenience. M had long black hair that was everywhere, on the sink, floor, and bathtub. I'm not a clean freak, but it was unpleasant, and she also left fingernails and toenails on the bathroom floor and drops of urine on the toilet seat. I saw a silverfish on the bathroom floor, which feeds on hair and nails, likely enjoying its dessert. I initially tried to imply the need to clean by putting a broom and shovel in the bathroom, but it didn't work, and I eventually asked her nicely if she could clean the bathroom floor more often, using we instead of you to avoid making her feel attacked. She promised to think about it, but nothing changed. I started dating a guy and was head over heels for him. He was also in a roommate situation, so we had a tough time getting alone time. I asked him if we could have one night to ourselves occasionally, but she could have the apartment to herself as well. She claimed that she had nowhere to go, no friends or family. I wasn't asking for 24 hours, just a few hours for quality time. And she eventually accepted after some persuasion and stayed with a friend one night while I stayed away the next week to give her more alone time. One morning, I found my cat's water bowl completely dried out. There was no spill, and it looked wiped out with a towel or paper. I had filled it the night before. She claims that the cats must have tipped it over, but there was no evidence of a spill, and my overly social cats began to withdraw from her, spending most of their time in my bedroom, which was unusual. I had an old saucepan from the 60s that meant a lot to me because it was my grandmother's and held nostalgic value. She burnt it and made no attempt to clean it, just left it on the stove and went out for a smoke. I found it ruined and cried, and she didn't even apologize. She also broke dishes several times without replacing them or apologizing, and this added to my frustration. After 2 months, she kept waking me up at night, binge eating my food, never cleaning, never leaving the house, scaring my cats and ruining my things. I realized that she had stolen my prescribed sleeping pills. I had 20 in my nightstand when I left for work, and they were gone when I returned. She denied it, but no one else could have taken them. The summer heat was strong, and I felt locked up in my tiny bedroom with my two cats. I never got any time to myself or alone time with the guy that I was dating. My apartment was messy, and she was stealing from me. Out of nowhere, my old elementary school classmate texted me on Facebook and asked how I knew M. He had seen my Facebook post about us being roommates. I told him that we were old co-workers and that she needed a place to stay because she got evicted, and he said, "I know. Do you know why she was evicted?" "Yeah, she accidentally went into her neighbor's apartment," I replied. He said, "That's not the full story. She broke in and snuck up to their sleeping baby with a knife in her hand. The father woke up and wrestled her down, saving the baby." I felt sick to my stomach. Could this be true? It would certainly explain why she was evicted, but it sounded so horrible. She seemed so timid, and my friend had the full police report. Apparently, the couple that she broke into was his ex-girlfriend's family. It seemed M had a psychosis during the break-in, but those parts weren't public. It was clear that she had been lying about what happened and how long she had been mentally stable. I started getting paranoid and wanted her to move out. We had a contract with a 30-day notice period. I knew asking her harshly would mean 30 days of chaos, so I wanted to handle it nicely. I started looking for cheap hostels for her to suggest so that she wouldn't be in the streets. I sat down with her and explained that I missed my alone time and the apartment was too small for two people. I said it wasn't personal and that I wouldn't want to live with anyone right now. I expressed regret and hoped that we would remain friends. She looked crushed and said it wasn't possible. I showed her the hostel I found and explained that I needed her to move out because I felt suffocated. The summer heat made it tough to keep the door to the bedroom closed, and I needed my sleep. She said that she would try to move out, but not until the 30 days had passed, and I agreed. The first night after our talk, she got up and made coffee at 2:30 a.m. I nearly had a mental breakdown. I was going to get up at 6 and couldn't go back to sleep. I asked her in the morning for probably the 10th time to wait until I got up to make coffee, but she didn't even answer. She just sat on the sofa and stared out the window. I was freaked out, but left for work. She kept being weird, making a mess, waking me up, eating my food, and all I could think about was the incident with her and the baby and the knife. Eventually, I got so angry about being woken up by the coffee maker that I unplugged it and stored it in my attic, which she had no access to. It may be childish, but I was going crazy and just wanted her to stop. The next night, I woke up at 4 a.m. to her making coffee in a saucepan. I tried talking to her again, but she just stared and didn't reply. In my frustration, I stored the saucepan in the attic too. The third night, the guy I was dating was sleeping over because I was getting really paranoid about her weird behavior. I woke up to him poking me, whispering, "Look." In the doorway, M was just standing silently, staring at us. It was like a scene from a horror movie with her long black hair over her face. I didn't say anything at first, wondering if she was doing something by the door, but realized that she was still just standing still, staring. It reminded me of the ending of Paranormal Activity where Katie just stares at Micah. I sat up and said,
"What are you doing?"
But before I could finish, she slammed the door shut and I heard the sound of something metal falling and her running into the living room. I yelled,
"You need to leave!"
And just started crying hysterically because this was turning into a literal nightmare. Of course, I didn't go back to sleep and was really happy to have company that night. I kept asking myself if she had done this before, staring at me in my sleep. The next day, I opened the door that she had slammed shut and saw a kitchen knife on the floor. And that was the metal sound that I had heard. I took all my knives and locked them in the attic. I asked a friend to come over when I told M that she had to move out immediately. During the conversation, I tried to stay calm, knowing that she had a mental illness and meant no harm despite my frustration. She didn't answer me, just stared out the window. She left the apartment and sent me a text saying that I was disrespectful for bringing a friend over to her place. That night, I thought that it would be quiet without the coffee maker or saucepans. But at 3 a.m., I woke up to her burning dry coffee powder in a frying pan, and I was terrified. Her face was dead, her eyes black, and I suspected that in that moment, she was in a psychosis. I stopped the fire that was starting and she ran off to the living room in silence. She had an appointment with her psychiatrist the next day, and while she was away, I packed all her things and sent her a text telling her that she needed to pick them up and return my keys. I offered to give her money for a hostel for the remaining 26 days, and she didn't reply. The guy I was seeing came to keep me company in case she fought about it, and she didn't. She left the keys without looking at us and left. Our coworkers told me that she moved in with the guy that she was dating and stayed there for a few weeks until she somehow got an apartment on her own. She started working again, and I was always happy to hear this, and she seemed to be doing well. Then, in January, one of our old coworkers told me that M had called her saying everything must burn, she had a baby to save, and some other very delusional stuff. She had called 112, the Swedish emergency number, but they hadn't taken it seriously. M then proceeded to burn her entire apartment down because the voices in her head told her that she had to burn everything to save her friends and family. Her neighbors tried to rescue her, but she fought them off and ran back in, pouring liquor on the fire to make it burn more. She was arrested and sentenced last week for aggravated arson, and she will serve her time in a mental institution slash prison for a long time, possibly forever. Ironically, she will probably be in the facility where I used to work and where she used to work herself. My old coworker was a witness at the trial. Apparently, M had stopped taking her medication, the Abilify, because she felt that it made her numb and thought that she was stable enough to function without it. Apparently not. She had also stopped taking her medication the last few weeks that she stayed at my house, which explains her behavior. It's disturbing to think about what could have happened to me and my cats if she had stayed, or if I had been a heavy sleeper. I also think about what could have happened to that baby that she snuck up on before she was evicted. I know it's crazy that I just didn't throw her out sooner. It was complicated. The reason I haven't been able to talk about it with my friends is that they sympathize with her and minimize my experience. They think I'm making a bigger deal out of it than it was, and I sort of understand since they never saw the darkness in her eyes that I saw in those last couple days.
This incident happened back in 2014 when I was last committed to a psych ward for a suicide attempt. A little background, I am female and was 19 at the time. I was coming off of 3 years of bipolar medication while at a peak of substance abuse facilitated by my first year in college going crazy with new adult freedom. One night I had a big mental episode and was committed for the first time in the adult ward. Previously, I had only been admitted in the minors ward during my adolescence for similar episodes. Within this unit, you had to share a room with the same sex but weren't given any proper introductions. The facility as a whole wasn't managed effectively, nor did any of the nurses or doctors seem to care other than to prescribe and get you out. I was led to the room I was staying in, and the nurse just said to the other lady in the room, "This is your new roommate," and left. The woman appeared to be in her late 40s or early 50s, Hispanic and just a little taller than me. She would not keep her gaze off of the floor in front of her, and didn't say a word or move when I said hi. I noticed she had a tattoo of a cartoon version of the classic Red Devil, but as a baby, I figured I'd just leave her alone and stick to my area of the room. The first night went as they normally do in a psych ward. My roommate declined to share anything yet again, only staring at the floor, barely moving an inch. While everyone was lining up to be given their medication before bed, the ward across began to start banging on the glass of the door and screaming. One guy was smiling while banging his bald head against the glass window part, while the guys behind him were screaming and jumping around. It seemed as if they were almost going to break through, but orderlies came and took them away with their screams still lingering through the halls. Being in psych wards before, I wasn't surprised by out-of-the-ordinary behavior like yelling or fight starting, but this was completely different to me. I was with disturbed adults now, people who had years of illness deteriorating their mind, not little angry kids anymore. I actually felt scared for the first time because of the high level of unpredictability with these people. I knew I wasn't all there in the head, but even these people had me anxious and made it difficult to try to get any rest that night. You know that feeling of being awake but you haven't opened your eyes yet? The moment where you are barely waking up and everything is fuzzy. This is the state of consciousness I was in later that night. I felt as if something was waking me up yet still tired, so I wasn't opening my eyes. The more I came to reality, I felt pressure on my forehead and I could sense sweat dripping on my face. I opened my eyes to find the roommate standing over my bed, staring me in the eye with one hand on my forehead and the other in a balled-up fist on her chest, while she speaks in what I assume is tongues. I look into her eyes and they are blank and empty of any emotion. She keeps speaking faster and getting louder. I am paralyzed at this moment, not sure what to do or what she would even do if I were to yell or move. It was only us in the room, and the nurse's station is all the way at the end of the hall. She started wiping the sweat off my forehead while still speaking fast and erratic, and I wasn't sure what she was doing or planned on doing next. She then put both hands on my forehead, and at this point was screaming while shaking me, but not long before a nurse came in and took her off me. The nurse seemed more irritated that she had to get up and do her job, rather than concerning of how I was doing or feeling. She escorted the woman out and said to don't worry and just go back to sleep. I don't know how, but I managed to fall back asleep. I assume she got transferred to the more severe ward because I did not see her again the next day, and luckily, I was able to leave later that day. This incident has since been a reminder for me to never go back and to manage my mental well-being, because while I have issues, I could be in a far worse state of mind. I still wake up some nights with lingering anxiety and have to calm myself down to go back to sleep. When I was accepted into a college that was far from my hometown, I didn't really know anyone else who lived there. The college I went to didn't have dorms, but they did have apartments that they suggested students live in due to the proximity to the college. I was pretty broke at that point, plus I wanted to meet some new people right away, so I chose my apartment largely due to a roommate matching service they had. Basically, you fill out a questionnaire about your demographics and hobbies, and the service would match you with roommates that were compatible with you. Mind you, I chose this particular apartment despite the one-star reviews I saw across the board online. I mean, they were under new management, and it was only a year lease. It couldn't be that bad. I was matched with another guy in a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. I was so excited to move in and meet him. I moved in a few days after the lease started, probably about 3 weeks before school started, and already began regretting my decision. The apartment was and smelled like mold and old cigarettes. In fact, there was a used ashtray on the coffee table when I first got there. My new roommate didn't show up for about a week. When he did finally show up, I found out he was about 35 and didn't even go to my school. He was pretty scruffy and smelled like old cigarettes and BO. Eventually, I found out that he used to be homeless and took out student loans to afford the application fee and first few months' rent, but he never enrolled in classes. After the first few months, he stopped paying rent, and it took about 6 months for the property to finally evict him. While he lived in my apartment, he never changed his clothes. He always wore the same beat-up-looking camo pants and stained dirty wife beater. I even offered him some clothes I was getting rid of that would have fit him fine. He was content though, so whatever. He would also have a lot of his old roommates from when he lived at homeless shelters over. It wouldn't be uncommon for me to come home to a random person doing laundry, even when my roommate wasn't home. When I would have a guy over to hang out in my room, he would watch us walk from the front door to my room through a crack in his door, just wide enough for me to see the creepiest look on his face. Literally every time. Needless to say, he gave me the creeps. A few months after school started, and after I was noticing his creepy behavior more and more, I was in my room asleep with a guy I was talking to at the time, when I hear a knock on my bedroom door. I look to the clock and it's about 3 in the morning. I get up to go see what whoever it was wanted, and open my door to a random, dirty and old naked guy. He says he's a friend of my roommate and thought my roommate was in my room with me. I flip the f*** out. Obviously my roommate isn't in my room with me. In order to get into my apartment, my roommate would have to let him in. And the apartment isn't very big, so it wasn't like my roommate could have gone somewhere else that his friend wouldn't know where he was. He was either in the living room or in his room. I throw this dude out and let myself into my roommate's room. This is the first time I've been in there, mainly because I have no reason to associate with him, and he's sitting in the corner doing absolutely nothing with his lights off, almost as if he was waiting for me to come in there. I ask him about everything that just happened, and he tries to play dumb like he didn't even know the guy. Someone had to let him in, and it wasn't me. I drop it, begrudgingly, because the eviction notices are piling up on his door. I figure it's just a matter of time until he's gone. In the meantime, I see the naked dude randomly in the apartment doing laundry a handful of times when I would get home from class. Finally, my roommate is evicted, and I think I'm done with that, and maybe we'll get another roommate that is actually my age or cool. A few weeks go by that are more or less quiet. Then one day I hear a knock at the front door during the day. When I answer it, I see the random naked dude standing there, thankfully clothed this time, with a trash bag full of what looked like disgusting laundry. He tells me that my roommate said it was cool if he came to use the washer, and starts to walk forward like he owns the place. I step in front of him and tell him that his friend doesn't live there anymore, and no, he can't use my washing machine. I close the door, lock it, and go back to my room. About 20 minutes later, I keep hearing a random noise from my balcony. I lived on the 3rd floor, so I figured it was just a squirrel or a bird out there scratching around. I keep hearing the noise, so I decide to investigate, and I see the homeless guy trying his best to climb up to my balcony. I told him I was calling the cops, but obviously by the time they get there, he's gone. That same day, I went to the property manager and asked what kind of roommate matching service works like that and demanded to get out of my lease. After some heated discussion, I persuaded her that it was probably in her best interest to just let me leave. I found a nice one-bedroom and never looked back.